Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you today, Lord, as we come. We know, Lord, your love is real, Lord, in many of our lives. And I pray, Lord, that it will be so in everyone's life, Lord. It is your love, Father, drawn us to you. And help us to respond, Father, to that love, the reality of your presence, your spirit in our life. If we serve, we say that we love you, Lord, let us therefore do what is required of us to express that love back to you. So, Father, we ask for your presence even now as we approach your word, that we may understand how the Lord you want us to see those things in your word, that we may realize, Father, that all that which you have done in the creation of the universe and this earth, Lord, and in the creation of putting all men on this earth for a purpose, Father. The Lord, when we see and behold this revelation, that it will establish our faith, the reality of a living God whose name is Yahweh, and the reality of the Son of God whose name is Yahshua HaMashiach, and Lord, the reality that we are alive today because of your love for us and that we are your children. That nothing, O Lord, will shake us, Father, from the foundations that we have in Christ Jesus, the Word of the living God, make known to us, Father. So, Lord, in this time now, just continue, Lord, to unfold and make us to see as we read Thy Holy Word and understand. In Jesus' name. Isn't it? Well, we left off last Sunday. Let us continue to go to look at what we have in our subject on Cain, giants, and Canaan. Now, we want to deal with this because, as I said this, for years and years in the ministry, having the knowledge of the revelation that God gives. And back then, since 71 came into the message, I have been attacked many times, beginning from locally in Singapore and then the other parts of the world. You know, the very thing we see from the Bible is that Satan, now, you know, the prophet of God said the elect does not persecute the elect. And that is very true. What we have is Satan getting among some people and cause them to attack. And therefore, if they are elect, why do they attack another elect? Which is very strange. Of course, unless they do not believe that the other person is the elect. So from that time on, in all these years, I have all the different ones coming, attacking us, attacking the ministry, attacking the doctrine. But it is one thing for them to attack, but it's another thing for them to misrepresent the truth. So in our last week, where we left off regarding this subject of this man from Africa, who have sent me through somebody or somehow, of course, he want me to know his doctrine, because in his four books, three of them practically, he mentioned my name and he attacked me and started to unfold something which is completely, again, ridiculous. He's, you know, we get a lot of men like this, but I'm not mentioning his name here. And what he wrote in his book, he tried to claim that he had the whole true revelation of the Mark of Cain. And he agreed with me to some point that truly that God put the Mark of Cain was his size, was to increase his size. And beyond that, he doesn't agree at all. And the reason why he doesn't believe is that he tried to prove that he had the true revelation and mine is only half a revelation. But I want to teach you one thing, as I said last week, to read and understand the Bible. To read and analyze what really is the truth. Lest, of course, we, just simply grab somebody and understand it and believe it and just hold on to it. But I want to say this, another thing is this. What is religion? Religion are man-made. We're not interested in religion. We're not here because we have a religion called Christianity. We don't have a religion at all. For that matter, if I want to use the word, that we don't have a religion. We have faith. We have the true faith. We have salvation. We have the Word of God. But when somebody takes the Word of God, twists it around, and create a creed or a dogma or a doctrine which is completely not true, and force it upon men, that's creating a religion. And that's where the danger comes in. When you create a religion, you are getting people to subject to what you teach to be the truth, and not the Word of God. So when we look at this right now, here is this man, of course, from Africa, from Nigeria, for that matter. The reason why he attacked me was because there is a religion, that doctrine that is promoted and believed, that there is this doctrine called, or the true teaching, as he would believe it, as he called it, the chief apostle. And because of his belief in this, he has to hold to the doctrine of the chief apostle, that the chief apostle make no mistake. Even though he make mistake, he has somehow defended. The same thing with Branhamism. Branhamism is a religion. It is not a true faith. It is a false faith when people hold to Branhamism. Why? Because in Branhamism, the people who hold to it is that Brother Branham do not make mistake. Every statement of Brother Branham, they are tests of the Lord. That every teaching of Brother Branham, there is no error. Not even one little mistake in his speech, which is not true. Let me say this, nobody is perfect. When you read every book of Brother Branham, every book of Brother Branham, every sermon, let me say this, that every sermon of Brother Branham is preached correctly in its own context. You understand what I'm saying? But you will take a statement from this book and take another statement from another book and try to say something the Brother Branham don't even say it, or don't even what you can find in the Bible, you are creating a religion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Take the doctrine of the seventh week of Daniel. When there's someone here 3.5 years, and many of them say, oh, Brother Branham said 3.5 years because after 63, the seal is open, and so on and so on. He made no mistake, it's 3.5 years. And when they come up with that, you're creating, what do you create? You're creating that Brother Branham is absolute. And so you create a religion. And now after Brother Branham, of course, these people who follow after the chief apostle doctrine, make the same. That the chief apostle don't make any mistake. You know. And so they have to defend him. And in defending him, it's one thing. But in defending somebody, he had to attack somebody. To show that, you see, this God is your Baba is true, that other person is wrong. That other minister is wrong. And the same thing with Branhamism. They attack me on the ground because I don't stay with the courts of Brother Branham. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't stay with anybody's courts. I stay with the Word of God. The sacred scripture is the in-breath of God is a final authority. Now, if you say that we believe what Brother Branham is being a messenger, he holds up the same, the Bible in his hand, he says, this is my absolute. Is that right? He holds up the Bible and says, this is my absolute. If that is his absolute, then that the same book that he holds up in his hand, called the Holy Bible, is our absolute. He didn't say that his word is the absolute.
He can't. Nobody could. Nobody's word is absolute. And so that's why we have this problem all around the world in this end time message. But here the Spirit came along now and tried to, well, the only way to make himself right is following the same footstep as a brother from Zimbabwe, as Zambia wrote him. You want to make yourself right is to run down Brother Gang, which is so true. You know, and as I said in his own book, he said that he was once upon a time a follower of Richard Gann, but no more. You know, I don't even know this man. I never met him. In our love, why we love our blasphemy? We ask the question, where did the giant come from? Where did the giants come from? Now, I want to tell you this, lest you think, you know what, you can take the Bible verses here and there and try to cook up something. I'm very well acquainted with the first, at least, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. I'm very well acquainted because that covers almost 2,000 years of history of the earth before the call of Abraham. I'm very well acquainted with it. And I'm not saying just to my congregation here, I'm saying to those who listen to this video or the audio. Don't take any words of the Bible and twist it around, because I'm going to show you how to look at the Word of God, read and understand. Like what we did with the last 2 Sundays ago, a brother from India wrote 2 tracts and he asked me to comment on, because he believed what he wrote was true about the communion, about the day that Jesus Christ died. All I have to do is to scan right through and pick up some word that he said. When he mentioned suddenly, I realized the whole track was wrong. And I read the 2nd track about the crucifixion. Christ on Thursday is completely wrong. You know, I shared with you on Friday, a man was approached by another minister to read about a book written by a certain other man about the true calendar of Israel. And the minister asked only one question. I will read the book only if you can tell me what day did this author wrote that Jesus Christ died on? What day was Jesus Christ dead? And the man said, the author wrote it as Friday. And this other minister said, then I will read the book. If he says it's Thursday or Wednesday, don't bother, waste your time. I have learned to do this one thing. I'll take a book, somebody give it to me, I'll just glance down. If he says something ridiculous on that particular subject, the main thought, I won't waste my time. Does the sympathy way of Daniel, if anybody wants to say the truth, that all Barabbas is correct, and I'll read it, but I just glance down. It's 3.5 years, I read it, it's 3.5 years, the book, I don't want to waste my time. You know? Because revelation can, if it is true, it comes from the scripture, not come from your twisted mind, or take some quote here and there and twist it. No, you can't do that. Alright, let us go on. Now, where did the giants come from? That's the question. Did Cain father the giants? And who was Cain? Now, here again, as I said, we're going last Sunday, going to the Bible, to chapter 6 of Genesis. Now, we already looked at this passage last week. But you know, this minister said in this chapter 6, verse 1 onwards to verse 8, he said there were giants in those days, in verse 4, as you all read it. And also after that, when the sons of men of God came in unto daughters of men, and bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were the old men of renown. So now, he quote this verse. Let me quote it from him. There were giants in the earth in those days. Which days? The days before the mixed marriages. Absolutely. You see? How do you put the word before the mixed marriage? There were giants before mixed marriage took place. Where did you read that in scripture? And he used the word absolutely. You know, he wanted to make his statement as truth. He used very often, absolutely, exactly, precisely, that's the truth, and so on and so forth. Let me read another place again. He said this, verse 4, quote from him, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, when Canaanite men began to multiply on the face of the earth, according to verse 1. That is, in those days, huh? You understand what he's saying? There were giants in those days, that is, when the Canaanite men began to multiply on the face of the earth, according to verse 1. In those days means that day. And also after that, there were also giants after that. When? When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, according to verse 2. And mixed marriage started, and they bare children. And the same became mighty men which were the old men of renown. Let us hold it for a while. Moses reveals there were giants in the earth in those days. Which day? Days before mixed marriage started, and also after that. Now I show you this just the other day. So what we have here? Here we have. What he says here, he said verse 1 and 2 refers to this mixed marriage. Is that what he said right here? There were giants in those days. When? Before mixed marriages started. And that is according to verse 1 and 2. What did verse 1 and 2 says mixed marriages started? Read your Bible carefully, brother and sister. This is what I want to teach you. What is it so important this last day when the Bible said that we received the early rain? People are not being taught right. And that's why they get a lot of garbage being preached in these end time message churches. Because why? We have men who are not anointed, not called of God to preach because somebody said that you are the preacher, somebody lifted up him up and he got puffed up and made himself an apostle or somebody. You know? Back then, when I was being attacked, this pastor said to his church, I did not say Brother Gann was an apostle. And I wrote back to him, I said, do you mean to say that until you tell the people, the whole world, that I am an apostle, then I am an apostle? I said, I am an apostle because God called me into this ministry. Back then, before I even came into the message, I said, you mean to tell me that you are the only one who endorsed me to be an apostle, then I am an apostle. That would be denomination. That is the system of the world. That's the system of the churches. Who made Paul an apostle? Was it Peter? Because Peter said so? That Paul was an apostle? So we have this problem. Because somebody says about somebody good, and the person feels so puffed up, he's made himself some minister. And he built his ministry upon the words of men. Oh, that's terrible. If you're not called of God directly, don't. Don't ever try to do something to be a minister, be a preacher, or something like that. Because you're handling the fire of God. You're handling the word of God. Verse 1 and 2, just say it came to pass. That means send over a period of time. And how long does it take for people to multiply on the earth? I told you last week. It doesn't take one generation of person. You say, in that became the past, and men began to multiply. Men here means mankind. Right? Began to multiply. Of course, it takes time to multiply. That's all. It isn't anything about mixed marriage. And then the verse 2 said, that the sons of God, when he sees these daughters of men, mankind began to multiply. When the sons of God, now here we have a definition of two different strains of people, or two different tribes. Sons of God, the other one called men. You understand? So there is a distinction now between, okay, we're sons of God, and of course we know sons are referred to the Sethites. Huh? Men referred to all those Canaanites. Now it's the sons of God when they saw these proliferations of the other tribes, and there are more women, more female being born. And he saw them, they're pretty, fair to look at. Took them wife. Is that right? That's all that the Bible said. And when God looked at it in verse 3, he says, oh my, I don't like these mixed marriages. Obviously, isn't it? Why? God is against hybriding. You know the Bible said that everything bring for his own kind? Yes or no? Right? He expects a certain type to marry the certain type. Not crossed over. And when God saw that, oh my, says, my spirit will not strike with men. And their days are numbered. And then verse 4, they tell us what happened. There were giants in those days. What day? The day when they mixed marriage. Not before. Those days don't point to the day. Okay? Before the mixed marriage. There were giants in those days. Read the Bible. Did he say before mixed marriage? No. So there were giants in those days when the sons of God. Common sense will tell you. And after that means after when? After this giant was washed away by the flood, the giant came again. After the flood. So when he said there were giants in those days and after that, actually talks about the destructions of these giants. The giant appeared before the flood. The giant appeared after the flood. But where did the giant come from? It came from mixed marriages. Thus, English is not that difficult, even in the King James. You understand? Okay, now. Here, just go down and see what he is looking at here. He said this. We are looking at a population of giants. When were these giants born? These giants were born in the earth before the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. Thus say the word of God. You see? That's not true. But he said, thus say the word of God. Then why don't you say, thus say the Lord? More specific, because when he thus say the word of God, he's actually saying the same thing. But he's trying to save God himself, lest he make a mistake. That's not thus say the word of God. And he said this. Continue. They were produced in abundance before the mixed marriages start. Precisely, again he used the word. Richard Gunn said, the giants started strictly when the mixed marriages started. And thus tested the Lord. Because mixed marriage causes giants. Now he doesn't believe in that. He said, that's why my revelation of Mark of Cain failed. Because why? He believed that Cain was a giant. Because God increased his size, and he was the one that produced giant. I beg your pardon. Cain was not the father of the giants. Though, his people do produce giants. Why? Simply because mixed marriage. Think about it, huh? Okay, let's look at how we look at the Word of God. Let me continue what he said. Richard Gunn said, the giants started strictly when the mixed marriages started. But that is a lie. Because Genesis 6, verse 4a, clearly and plainly tells us, giants were born in those days, born in the earth in those days, when the Canaanite line were multiplying on the earth. Did he say that? The verse 1 says that. He says this. Listen carefully. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4a, clearly and plainly tells us, giants were born in the earth in those days, when the Canaanite line were multiplying on the earth. The Canaanite line multiplying on the earth produced giant. What was its conclusion? Because Cain was a giant. Oh no. It doesn't mean that. Let's continue. Now I'll prove to you. Now he used the word exactly. Again, you know exactly. But additionally after that, and also after that, that is additionally there were giants. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men. So he said, now, this is the period right here. He said, there were giants already before mixed marriage. Okay? Based on the giants were there already because of verse 4a. Because it was before mixed marriage. But mixed marriage, according to him, also produced giants. So, before mixed marriage and after mixed marriage. So, that is his conclusion based on this understanding of scriptures here. But it's completely misread. Read any other translation. Read other translations. All right. Now, just say this. Let us go on. What does that show you, he said? It shows you when mixed marriage started between the Semitic line and the Cainic line, it also produced giant as a result of the genetic imbalance. But before the mixed marriages started, there were already giants in the earth, precisely. So we are looking at two dispensations. That's according to what he said. Richard Gunn should be able to see this, regardless of the punctuation used in the verse. For this is the verse that establishes the revelation of the mark of King. Exactly, he said that. So he wants to prove that to have the true revelation of the mark of King, you need to know that King fathered the giant. Then he said, so, Church of the Living God, how can he say he has a revelation and deny the truth of this Bible? That is impossible. How can God deal with a man to give him a true revelation and a man would deny the truth of that scriptures, particularly when the scripture forms the very basis for the revelation? It is written to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no like in them. And so on and so forth. Okay. Let us read this next paragraph. But Richard Gunn is denying Genesis 6 for him. He says giants started only with mixed marriages. But to say that is to deny the revelation on the mark of King. Absolutely. To say that is to take away the truth on the mark of King. Why do I say that? Because this verse, verse 4a, forms the very basis for the revelation he says he has. And yet he is denying the very scriptures. I'm not. Okay? And he said, and if he claims mixed marriages between the Semitic line and the Cainic line was what produced giant, just how, now this is where he got it, just how will he show that Cain was a giant? That he produced giant. Precisely. Yet until he can show us that by the scripture that Cain was transformed into a giant, and also by the scripture that he fathered giants as a result, he's only making mere statement. Absolutely. Absolutely. Precisely. Every place he wants to make his own statement right, he used that. Okay, now. And then let's just continue. Then I'll explain. He continues another part. He says, in those days, there were giants in the earth before the sons of God start taking notice of the Canaanite woman. So he's very sure that it was before mixed marriage that giants proliferated. Satan had to brew up the Canaanite line first before he could carry out his onslaught to bring about mixed marriages. Absolutely or precisely. This produced an abundance of daughters to the Canaanites. And it also produced giants. You are looking at the natural population of giants. Okay. Next paragraph. Moreover, it is the absolute law of reproduction that every seed bring forth after his kind. Precisely, this is what we all agree. Right? Then we must now ask, knowing we have to look only at one lineage, the lineage of Cain. How can Cain produce giants if he was not a giant? Church of the Living God, there is only one way for him to produce giants before the mixed marriages started, which also produced giants due to the genetic imbalance it created. As such, God had to touch him and transform him into a giant, precisely. That's the only way Cain could have fathered giants, as verse 1 and verse 4 reveal. Now, he asked me how Richard Gunn, until he showed us how Cain was transformed into a giant. Was I not the first person in this end time message to get the revelation on Mark the Cain and preach it? Back in the early 1980s. In fact, I believe it was 1982 or 81. And I wrote the book, the message, only 84 and printed it. I was the only person that actually bring out this revelation on Mark of Cain. And what did I say about the Mark of Cain? What was the Mark of Cain? I preached that in Brother Jackson's church. What was the Mark of Cain? God increased his size, right? Make him to a giant. I said that, as we know, Robert made the statement that the serpent was a big fella. Okay, we said that no man's height is 6 feet. Then the serpent has a seven footer. Of course, Cain was born, perhaps about 7 foot. He's a seven footer also. So when God increased, the son increased perhaps to 9 feet. Make him about 800 pounds. 900 pounds. And I'm so well going to be pounds rather than kilos. So think about it. Okay? Most of us weigh 160, 180 pounds. I don't even know how much Ginny weighs. 100 and what? 60. You got how many kilos? 70 kilos? 70 kilos. 70 kilos, 160 pounds. Many of us are not even 200 pounds. Even American size, perhaps many of them are 200 pounders. But 200 pounders cannot beat a man who is 800, 900 pounder at 9 feet. Whose reach is longer, who can take a longer spear because he has the size to carry that longer spear. And you can touch it. I said that's how God protected. Remember, God put a mark upon Cain was to what? For him to produce giants? Was it for him to produce giants? What, when God set a mark upon Cain, what is the reason for him to put a mark upon Cain? Was it for Cain to produce more giants? No, to protect him. From who? From who? Not from sad people, you know. I say this, right? Sad people are godly people. They don't go around killing people. And for that matter, the Celtic people, remember this, they were herders. They were herdsmen. You know what herdsmen is? They were not farmers. They were not city builders. They were not forgers of steels, of metal, of gold. Remember that. So that's why Cain said, oh, you have made me a vagabond, a fugitive. When God's family, they will kill me. God said, no. If they could kill you, I'd take vengeance upon you 7 times for you. And God put a mark upon him. So lest anybody find him will kill him. Will not be so. So he increased his size. And they watched the mark down all the way to today. Right? All I think is big, religiously big. That's what we see in organization today. Everything they want big, more members, bigger church, bigger auditorium, bigger building. That's what they do. Bigger, higher steeple and things like that. Watch their mark. Protect Cain from being killed. Now, if Cain father to him, see, of course you can quote the verse. You produce after your own kind. Right? And the Bible says, he quote the verse. Produce after your own kind. Does it mean that when Cain took a half-sister, went out to the land of Nod, the first son that is born, what is the name of the first son? You remember? What was the name of the first son? No, the first son of Cain was Enoch. Was Enoch a giant? Was Enoch a giant? I don't know about the second son because the name is not given. All we have in the list of genealogy are always the firstborn. Was his third son a giant? Was his fourth son a giant? Just because God increased his size to 9 feet doesn't mean that all his descendants will be giant. If that were so, they would have already killed him. Think about it. Think about it. Yes or no? The giant did not come because he was a giant. God increased his size to protect him. Okay, let's take this for example. In a family, let's say in my father's family, I'm the firstborn. If something happened, genetically something is happening in my body, I become an 8-footer. You remember this? No, the world's tallest man is what? What's the size? 2 meters? Okay, 2.76 meters. Okay, let's say he's that tall. Use feet, better. I have more imagination. Meter, a lot of people get lost on that. But let's say if something happened to my hormone and I become 8 feet. And my brother Jimmy and everybody are all, 6 feet, 6 foot. Okay, so what happened?
When I give birth, you know, I married with joy of the earthy. Would he? With joy of the earthy.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean that, you know. It does not mean that. The same thing with a black sheep. You know, ever seen white sheep give birth to a black sheep? The wool has become black. Ever seen that? You've probably never heard of. That's why we call a black sheep. There's something wrong with the genital and you get a black. But this black sheep, if he bleeds, doesn't mean that all will be black too. No, that's not true. That's not true. So Cain does not father the giant per se. Do you understand? Because if he would have, by the time Enoch was born, after Enoch was born, the third person after Enoch, who was that? What's the name of the son of Noah? Enoch? Huh? Erod. Okay. That is the third generation. So it will be so that Enoch, a lot of children were born after Enoch, right? A lot of sons were born after Enoch was born, came before the other sons. Then, after Enoch married, and all his siblings married, Erod gave birth to many, many sons. So by that generation, there would have been a lot of giants too. Don't say thousand, say just 100. It would take only 6 of them, I would say, to come against Cain and kill him. Would he not? Would they not? They would have killed Cain easily. The man was to protect Cain against from those who are 7 footer. They would not be able to kill him so easily. And if they come in a big group, as I said, is he run? He will run. And when he run away from them, of course, he became more of a nomad. But if you have more giants ready at that day, in those days, they would easily keep following him until exhausting. They could exhaust him easily and kill him. But when was Cain killed? The Bible didn't tell us when Cain died. But there is an answer in the Bible. And it's no use to tell you how do you get that answer. The answer is actually found in the Bible, but it doesn't give you the clear detail. Only you have to read into Hebrews, you know, old manuscript books in Hebrew, they will tell you how Cain died. The Bible tells you actually, because there is something that's written there that you want to know who Lamech killed. And how many generations it was before Cain died? He said Cain was not killed by giants. He was killed accidentally. Now, of course, if you don't believe it, because it's not in the Bible, that's fine. I'm not asking you to believe it. But I want to say this, is that Cain did not father the giant per se. Do you understand that? Huh? Though they're in his descendants' blood, they are giant blood. That's true. Giantism blood is in them. That is true. Because I can prove to you that after Cain gave birth to Enoch, it doesn't mean that they were giants. We will look into the Bible in the next moment, in the next few more minutes. Let us continue here. Now, Genesis chapter 4. We already dealt with last week about this issue of the word man. Huh? With the word man. What is the meaning of the word man? Now, in chapter 4 here, let us read from verse 16 onwards. And Cain went up in the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city, and called the name of the city, after the name of his son Enoch. And all unto Enoch was born Arad. And Arad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Mathusael, and Mathusael begat Lamech. Now here we have, it stopped right here in the birth of Lamech. Now Lamech, he is 6th from Cain. He is in 6th from line of Cain. Now if we know numerology, because Hebrew got put position in the Bible for certain reason. Six represent number of names. Now, here the Bible ends in verse 18 with Lamech. The firstborn. These are all firstborn. Right? Then he says in the next verse, and Lamech took unto him two wives. Now, I want to show you something here. That the pure Canaanic line ended with Lamech. Listen carefully. If you know how you look in the Bible. If you don't, then you find, oh, I don't understand. Okay. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, the name of the other Zillah. And Hadad bare Yerba. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubah. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now, you ever wonder why the lineage of Cain ended with Lamech? What about Lamech? He has two wives. And then each of them brought forth two children. So, what about Jabba? What about Juba? Why does it end with either Jabba or Juba as being the pure? You know, God writes this precisely. Very strange in the Bible. I mean, he mentioned Iraq begat Mahujael, Mahujael begat Mahusael, and then suddenly he talked about Lamech, and then mentioned about the wife's name, and then mentioned about the children's name and their occupation. Why? Why didn't I mention about Mahujael's children and Mahusael? Because why? They're Scythian. So nothing to do with them. Because you know what the occupations are. What the occupations were anyway. But now it came right here. The Bible ended with Lamech. And the Bible gave you detail. Just like it ended with Noah and mentioned about three sons. If anybody is blind, he can't see. And if you're not blind, you can see. You should be able to see. Why the end with Lamech? Okay, look at it carefully now here. We're going to just get this blank, additional blank page here so we can just draw that so you can understand. Now, here we have Lamech. And Lamech has two wives. He had two wives. Okay? One is Ada. And the other is Zillah. Okay? Now, Lamech, of course, he's a Kenite. Now the Bible says, Ada, Zillah, two wives. But who are these two wives? Was Ada a Kenite? Was Zillah a Kenite? You need to know. How do you understand? How do you know? You see, because when genealogy ended with someone, God is asking you to pay attention. But God is not going to give you a spoon, you know, not going to spoon feed you, you know. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't give you detail to spoon feed you. The trouble is that He makes us, people like me, ministers, to do the feeding. Okay? So look at it carefully. He says, Ada, bear Juba. Okay, we have, Jabba. Okay? And he was the father of such as dwell in tents. Okay, dwell in tents. And such the handle cattle. That means they become, be able to keep livestock, not just herds, but keeping livestock is different from herders, herdsmen. Okay? And the other one is saying his brother's name was Juba. Okay, his brother's name was Juba. Okay, and Juba, he says here, he is the father of all such as handle the harps and the organ. They are musicians, they are forgers. Okay? They forge instruments. Okay? Using metals, and then they are able to play, they are able to teach. You know, the instructors of all these things. Okay. But here we have Zillah. Zillah, he says here, give up Tubal-Cain. Okay, he was Tubal-Cain. Okay. Tubal-Cain. And Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. Same thing just like Juba. More or less, a forger also. Instructors, you know, of brass and iron too. Okay.
When you are able to use brass and iron, you are able to build things, metallic things. And you are actually able to build cities, people like this. Okay, so you have that. And then, interestingly, of course, the Bible says, whoa, and the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. So what God did he tell us that for? What do you think God tell you this? What do you think God allowed Moses? Hey, Moses, write it down. And let everybody scratch their head a little bit. And the daughters and the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. What has she got to do with the genealogy? Pay attention, brother and sister. When God put a woman's name in the genealogy, she plays a part in history. I told you that already. They play a part in the history of mankind. Right? You see the genealogy of Jesus Christ? How many women's names did you see there? How many have you seen? Come on now. How many names have you seen there? How many? How many you don't know? What is the first one? Huh? Oh, the one that was brother fit the battle of Jericho. Huh? Who was that? Rechab? And then where was the other one? You have found over there. No, okay. Ruth. And then where you have that one? And Mary. Because you said Mary, of course he mentioned. But what do you think God put woman's name there? Because they play a part. And that's the reason why and God said, and the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. If it was not important, if Naamah played no part in history, that one you can delete from the Bible. People just say, oh, that's a waste of ink and paper. What do you think so? So who is Naamah? Of course, a lot of people say, oh, brother, you are just presuming. I'm not presuming. If you don't have a revelation, you don't know. But let us find out. Ada, Zillah. The two women. You see, the man chose these wives. But one of them is a Setite. How do we know that it's a Setite? Because there's a clue that I put you there. And Ada bare Jabbar. And she was a father as God intended and as such they have cattle. Huh? And then the other one, Juba, the father of such a handle, the harp and the organ. This is a herdsman. This is a livestock man. They live simple. What about this one? Huh? This one's more towards the Canaan side. So Ada was a Setite. Remember, this is mixed seed. Mixed together, Lamech, a Canaanite, mixed with a woman who's a Setite. And you know, we all know that your sons, your own daughter, huh? Maybe more of your gene or your wife's genes. Yes or no? It's true. And that's why Jabba, he was the firstborn. That's why when he was the firstborn, the lineage, the firstborn, the genealogy cannot include Jabba. Because he was not a Canaanite. He was not a pure Canaanite. You got it? Jabba was more like the mother. And Juba was more like the father. And Zillah, of course, was a Canaanite. Because Tubal Cain, what the Bible tells us, instructed every artifact in the island. And then the Bible mentions, and the sister is Naamah. Who is Naamah? If you don't believe me, that's okay. You can call me a false prophet, that's okay. But be careful. Because my revelation sticks that Naamah was the wife of Noah. Don't believe me? Go into ancient history. Well, I was looking at this until one day God allowed me a book to see that it was Naamah. Not only just one book in his, but what there are actually two. They verified that Naamah was actually the wife of Noah. Hebrew or Jewish history. You understand? So that's why the lineage ends with Lamech. Sixth from Cain. But was Juba a giant? Juba a giant? The Bible don't tell you that.
If you would, he would have told you.
Just as above I mentioned about Oak or Bashan, so many feet. Goliath, so many feet, and so on. He would mention something about their height. But because giant did not come from Cain, giant came from, interesting. Let us go on to the next. If you will, go back to chapter 6 now. You see here, the Bible said there were giants in those days when? Not before. You understand English? Huh? Anybody who doesn't know English? I was once very bad English. So bad, I don't even know what is said, what is said, what is sing, what is sung, and what is sung. I really am lost with all this bad, this grammar. But, okay. If I said, yesterday you were here. Huh? And then, before, the day before yesterday, you have to say, the day before yesterday. Huh? Yesterday was Saturday, Friday. Oh, you came the day before Saturday. Isn't it? When they have function. That's obviously. So when you said before, it must be before the event starts. But the Bible tells us that, notice it very carefully, I want you to notice. It says, the sons of God went into the daughters, right, of men. Am I right? Watch carefully. Look what we've got to verse 4. And then, don't say, I said it. Read what the Bible said. Verse 4. There were giants those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. I cannot read it the other way around. I cannot say, there were giants in those days, when the sons of men came in unto the daughters of God. I can't say that. You know why? You see, God is about the holy seed. It's about the godly seed. God is dealing with His children. This is the, we say, pure seed. Am I not right? Yes or no? Is it not pure seed? Yes. Pure seed. It is said about the corrupt seed. It is said about the corrupt seed. That this man came into this woman on this side. It did not say it like that. Why? God says when the sons of God, mix with those, with the women, the daughters of the men, the women on the other side, the corrupt seed, it creates giants. And he didn't say it the other way around. Because this is one clue. I said you remember one thing that when the Bible said you remember when you go later on. Do you understand what I'm saying right here now? Okay. Go over to chapter, of course, Noah. Okay. Now we are saying that in verse right here we see in verse. Chapter 5, sorry. I beg your pardon. Okay, chapter 5. Verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So now, the genealogy ends with Noah. Now, you must have some wisdom, brother and sister. Read and understand. That's what I'm talking about. Read and understand. Why the Bible ended with genealogy of Cain and ended with Lamech. And then the name of the sons were mentioned after Lamech. Then you realize, oh, because, you know, the firstborn was no longer pure. Now, you should be able to read this, that when the Bible ended with Noah and then mentioned the three sons' name, that means Noah must be the last of the pure firstborn. But you know, the chief apostle said he ended with Enoch. Enoch was the first, was the last of the pure firstborn. That's kind of strange, isn't it? And I was asked this question.
by him.
If Noah was the pure firstborn, why didn't he have had the revelation? Why did he not have the revelation to marry a pure wife? Kind of strange question, though. So I put it back to him. I said, well, you said that Enoch was the last then. Then Enoch, how come he, being a pure seed, did not have the revelation to marry a pure wife? You said sometimes the wisdom and, you know, when, as I said, when you want to reason with the word of God, reason it wisely. Don't simply grab something to produce a question and try to throw it off course. No, you can't. Just look at it. If you answer with Noah, if you end up with Noah, the three sons' name, that means you tell us something. And the worst thing that is, when we read in the next few chapter later on, in chapter 10, you find that the name of Shem, Ham, and Japheth is placed here in chapter 5, is also turned around. You understand? You see? Why was Shem put first when he was the last? When he was the third son? See? Isn't it? Same thing you notice in the pattern of Abraham. God turning around to the three sons. Why? You see, God liked to play, give you some puzzle to solve. So he make his word interesting. That's what the Bible says. Paul has studied to show thyself from the God. If you're a child of God, you want to know what God is doing. Hey, you know, I don't know, when Zoe was young, we give them puzzle, you know, we give them question, tricky thing to, so that they can crack their mind. You understand? Feed on knowledge to find the answer. So the same thing, we are interested in God, so we want to know, want to learn. Because all these things will strengthen your faith, because we know this whole world, what happened to this world, started all the way back there. Do you understand that? Huh? So now, we see that, of course, when Noah was born, when Noah married Mrs. Noah, of course, Mrs. Noah. Now, we know, if you don't believe, it's okay, as I said this, I'm not forcing nobody to believe. Nama. That is why Noah was last and the firstborn. Because his three sons came from this seed. And the three sons are not pure Sadak anymore, not pure Kenan anymore. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? But still the seed of Noah. Not the seed of Mrs. Noah. The answer will tell you that. So that's why if you believe that Enoch was the last of the pure firstborn, was the last of the pure firstborn, you don't have an answer. You don't have an answer. But if you look at the genealogy and know that Noah was the last of the pure firstborn, then you realize, Noah's name mentioned, Noah must play a part. And Noah being a Canaanite. Right? Okay, so what we have now? We have three sons. Shepherd, Ham, Shem. Story ends right there. But Noah married a Canaanite woman. Japheth, Ham, and Shem. Were they giants? No. Even though the Bible says when the sons of God married daughters of men, they produced giants, right? It doesn't mean the first generation. Or even the second generation. I said this, that's why I'm very positive to say that the giant started at least two generations before Enoch. Generation. Enoch was seventh from Adam. Remember? At least two generations of birth in the generation of Mahalia. Huh? You understand that? Now, according to this man, of course, he believed that, this verse, a man began to call upon the name of God. He said, the man here, which I already showed last week, he refers to who? The Canaanite. But he says, no. He refers to the second. It was only one generation. Seth gave birth to Enos. It was in that generation that the Canaanite man, the Canaanite people began to invoke, profane, call upon the name, as I said, this is profanity, of taking the name of Jehovah
and invoke it upon the idols. But according to this man, according to his predecessor, that it was after Enos was born that the Semitic people, what Semitic people? It's only one generation only, right? Semitic people of Enos. After Enos was born, then the Semitic brothers, half brother and sister, then began to already worship God. That is not true. They never lost their worship. I told you last week, Cain worshiped Yahweh. Is that right? Yes. But Cain's revelation was corrupt. Look at the denomination today. They also worship Jesus. Right? But they are not the same in the faith that we have. Do you understand? And it was the time after Enoch was born, which is to say in the generation of Enoch, then Cain. After Cain gave birth, right? To Enoch. It was around that generation that began to say, oh, we need God. We need something that we can see, a God that we can see. Huh? So they see a stone. Nice stone. That's Yahweh. They took the stone home and worshiped a black rock. Huh? Or they see a tree trunk. There's all shape and maybe with hands and something like that with the head. Oh, that's Yahweh. They invoke anything, the name of Yahweh, upon the idols and images. That's what when you start to do that. What we have today in Christianity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, three persons. Do you understand that? That's how they imagine Mary, the mother of God. And then you have black Nino and black Jesus, and white Jesus, baby Jesus, and they worship it in all these Catholic countries. Isn't that how, what is this with Cain's line? That's actually what happened. Simple as that. But it was, you know, at least 2-3 generations before a giant can be produced. Not just because I'm a giant and married a woman, my son will be giant. Not necessarily. If I'm a giant and my son Zohar married my grandson, maybe not a giant. Maybe my great grandson, look at me, 8 foot tall. Maybe a giant. That's the reason why the Bible strictly said the sons of God, so the daughters of men. It came to pass over a period of time, not in the first 100 years, not in the second, not in the third 100 years. At least 500 years or so, or even up to 1,000 years in that period of time where you really see giants coming up. So don't jump to conclusion. Let's continue with the last part here. We want to go on and finish it out. Alright here. Now, we come to the question. Where it says, who's king? God increased his size. Yes. To protect him. Increase his size, not to produce giants, but to protect him. Not for production, but for protection. You understand? Let me say this very clearly. Cain did not father the giant. Cain did not father the giant. Per se. Though giantism was in his blood. But the mixing of the blood between the Kenic, between the Celtic and the Kenic, actually is the one that causes the giant proliferation. That's what it is. Because later on, after the flood, there was a son born to Ham called Canaan. Right? And Canaan is son of, he was the one that followed the giant after the flood. Now you can say that Cain was the one that fathered the giant after the flood. How do I know it? Let's continue to deal with this in the next 10-15 minutes. Now here he says here, this man of course doesn't believe about the incense. So let's go over to the book of Genesis. And here we have in chapter 9. Here we have chapter 9, verse 19 onward, or verse 18 onward. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, then the whole earth overspread. You must remember, the earth was populated by the three sons of Noah. Not by Noah, by the three sons of Noah. You understand? Okay. And Noah became a husbandman. He planted a vineyard, drank of the wine. You see, he was supposed to be a herdsman. But because he was so mixed with these Canaanite, learned how to farm, and he loved wine, everything like that. Huh? So he did it after the flood. And so he was drunk and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japhet took a garment, placed upon both their shoulders, went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto the brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Okay, now, interesting, huh? He said, okay, you see, some people read the Bible. Okay, verse 18, 19 follow, 18, 20 follow, 19, 21 follow, 20, 22 follow, 21. That's not necessarily the way you follow. That everything is immediate, immediate, immediate. Because if you do, let's go to one chapter here, interesting. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. You read all the way from verse 1 right down to verse 24. Huh? Chapter 4, verse 1 to 24. Then suddenly verse 25 said, "And Adam knew his wife again and bare for the son and called his name Seth." Are you going to say that only after the event of verse 1 and 24 were accomplished, after so many hundreds and hundreds of years, then then Adam gave birth to Seth? No. Do you understand that? So read the Bible, don't read it like, one sentence follow next sentence. Without, as if there's no time gap. Or there is not a meaning to say that there is meanwhile. Or, as if it's to know that it's a segregated from that top portion. We need to understand. Words, semantic, are to convey an expression, a thought. And if you don't know when to break it up, when the thought is, when it's supposed to be placed, then you have a problem. Do you understand that? Especially the Bible. The Bible don't use the word meanwhile, like we use a novel. Meanwhile, the dark handsome man rode on his horse and go after his, beautiful princess or something like that. You read it in the novel. But the Bible doesn't. The Bible just continue writing, and you need to know when that thought is broken up to place in another period of time. Okay? And so when we read in chapter 9, here now, this man said here, the entire scenario had nothing to do with incest. I know in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 6 to 8, to uncover nakedness means incest. But the text in Leviticus has no application to the simple and straightforward account in Genesis chapter 9, where Ham saw the nakedness of his father, but did not uncover the nakedness of his father exactly. Read the text, he says. Noah was already uncovered in his tent in verse 21. Before Ham saw him, absolutely. I mean, this, it says no reference. Straightforward account. If it is so, this is quite a foolish thing, for people to talk like this, religious people. If it is so straightforward, then how come the two trees are not so straightforward? Right? Isn't it? The serpent said to Eve, God said you cannot eat of every tree? And he said, we cannot touch this tree of knowledge. And the serpent said, if you eat of it, your eyes will be open and be wise. And then Eve took of the fruit in it. Why is it not straightforward? The denomination said it's straightforward, right? The tree is a tree. Fruit is a fruit. Simple. That's it. Here, full stop. Don't argue with me. The denomination said. Right? But we know that two trees are not. Huh? And of course, the Brenner might say the tree of life is Jesus, the tree of knowledge is Satan, and they're holding hands in the garden together on the same spot. Oh, come on! Jesus Christ was not even in the garden! Huh? Do you understand? But that's the way they interpret things. And now he says it's not the same. The book of Leviticus has nothing to do with this. It's straightforward. Is it straightforward? He said, there need no special interpretation.
And he said, moreover, Mrs. Noah was not even once mentioned in the entire chapter. You know, and you know what he said about this? He said, oh, the event's simple like this. Ham came in to the tent of Noah and went into the tent. So Noah was naked, already uncovered, naked. And then he augured and he went out there and told the brother. And this is what he said here. He tells Shem and Japheth. Verse 22 tells us that. It is like saying, Brother Shem, Brother Japheth, wonders never cease. That is, that drunk and naked in this tent. Yuck, 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 yuck. Wow, you think that is what it is? Anyway, let's just have a little imagination. No matter what, if I have three sons, and one is a black sheep, even though he's singing naked in a room, do you think he go and talk with the two brothers and make fun like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. Huh? Isn't it? Okay, let us read the Bible carefully now. And then we'll see. But maybe just let him what he's saying right here. You know, he said, Mr. Gunn, I ask you, he's calling me Mr. Gunn. Who was covered up? Noah or Mrs. Noah? You see, how can you cover incest with a piece of cloth? That is his understanding. You know what I'm saying? He said that, take note, Shem held one edge of the cloth, while Japheth held the other end of the cloth, and covered the father's nakedness. He was lying naked there. Just think one for a moment. The Bible does not say that. The Bible did not say hold one end of the cloth. Huh? He said the Bible said they put it on their shoulder. Do you read it carefully? Shem and Japheth carried the garment on the shoulder. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Verse 23. You didn't read that, did you? You didn't read that, really? And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulder and went backward. What a clumsy way. You know what a garment is in the Bible here? A garment is not a piece of bedsheet. The word garment in the Hebrew, it means a dress. A garment is a dress. Look into your Hebrew. A cloth that is fitting the body means a dress. And this garment is normally a mantle. It means a cloak. Now, okay, if you have a coat, we wear a coat today, maybe an overall. Overall, you know the overall? The long one in the winter they wear from top to the bottom. Two persons, you want to cover a naked body, two persons, brother, hey, you stand over there, huh? Put on the shoulder. You must put on the shoulder and draw backwards. The Bible is telling you something. What does shoulder mean? You have a revelation. I guess many of you minister out there know nothing. When the Bible laid upon the shoulder means the responsibility. They're covered up. They need to say like what we will have here. You know when you see a brother sin, do you want to expose everybody? Hey, you know, I saw the brother smoke, he drink, he gamble, toto and all that. Do you want to tell everybody? You put it on also his government. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Christ's shoulder means what? He carries the burden. He carries the responsibility. And that's why he went back. What that means to say that it's all figure of speech. Expression. That they were covering this up so they would not let no one know what happened. That their brother Ham had come in incest with the mother. That's just one thing here. And you know what? Sir Richard Dunn consistently said it was incest. Ham coming with his mother and will not be corrected. My foot, that is not a revelation. I'm not interested in his foot. His foot is not a revelation anyway. The man he talks like that. That's a wild projection. Is that so? He said, I'm manufacturing this. You know this, for your information, if you listen to this, my brother, I believe your mail will come and look into my website to see whether I respond. Let me tell you this right now. When I was over in Brother Jackson's convention in 1981, one day after the convention was over, Brother Jackson took me to a restaurant to eat. And I already know the revelation of this. But I have never found it in Brother Branham's messages. Walking out to the restaurant, Brother Jackson, I asked him, I said, Brother, I have never
found any place in Brother Abraham's tape or listened to any of his sermons or read any book where Brother Abraham ever mentioned about this sin of him. I said, Brother Jackson, have you heard him say it outside the pulpit where it was not recorded any place? And this is what Brother Jackson said to me. He said, yes, Brother Gunn. I was one with him and he told me this. He said, Brother Jackson, I believe that the sin of him was incest. When Brother Jackson said that in my heart, I said, that's the truth. Because I want to know what the prophet of God understood, if he ever mentioned it, what was incest. Because to this day, out in the denomination, Ham was just looking at the nakedness of the father and ogre and ogre and ogre. Are you listening to me? Being straightforward. A male is a male. They are saying that Ham kept on looking and looking and looking. So what is so nice about a naked body of a father? Or the other one is to go out there and tell Shem and Japheth, oh, father is naked and make fun of it. Is that what it is? There are clues here now. Let me go straight all the way to it. Okay, go right out to chapter 9 now. You see verse 18. The Bible said, Ham is the father of Cain. The Bible in two places mentioned this. To make you aware of who Ham is and of who Canaan is. Ham is the father of Canaan. Why did the Bible mention it? And who is Canaan? I know the father is Ham, but who is Canaan? You understand that? Yes. Go and look at the next verse, 22. Ham, the father of Canaan. Again he mentioned that. Now, in mentioning this, he's mentioning about the sin of Ham. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. He came from where? He came from dead incense. Canaan came from dead incense. Now, this man said, go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. He's bringing this verse here to try to prove that it was not incest. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Woe unto him that give his neighbor a drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and make him drunk also, that thou may look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shamefully spilling shall be on thy glory. Hey, this nakedness has nothing to do with incest. How do I know it's not incest? How do I know there's that? Because the word nakedness here means what? You know English word, if you know English word, is pudenda. You know what pudenda is? It means touch your organ. That's all. Okay? There's no word here. One word is missing here. Let me show you another place. Let me show you another place where you can find it. I hope that I'm not misplaced that verse, but sorry. Okay, go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah, chapter 47. Isaiah 47, verse 1 onward. Come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal, and cover your lock, bear your feet, and cover your thigh. Pass over the river. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. And so on and so on. Who is this Chaldean? The Babylonian. What happened to the Babylonian? Who conquered Babylonian? The Middle Persian. Right? And God said now, spread your feet. You'll no longer be queen. You'll no longer sit on the throne. Because why? In verse 3 it says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. This is the only verse outside of this chapter 9 of Genesis that you see the word uncovered and nakedness joined together. You find no other place except in the book of Leviticus why he mentioned he that uncovered his father's wife, you know what I mean? It's incest and so on. I've seen the nakedness of the father. You have two words that will tell you what is incest. The word nakedness does not show incest. That's one thing. But look at Genesis chapter 9. My brother, please listen to me carefully. Look at chapter 9. Here we have verse 21. And he drank the wine and was naked, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. You see that? But people say, oh, but there is a full stop after 10. Hey, brother, that's the English punctuation. This is what actually the Bible says. And Noah was drunk of the wine and was naked. Full stop. Just pause for a moment. If you want to put a full stop. He was uncovered within his tent. Ham, the father of nakedness, saw his nakedness. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his nakedness. Can you understand that? Because that's what Hebrew would say. You talk about punctuation mark, forget about punctuation mark. The word uncover will tell you. One. Two. Ham was the father of Canaan. Canaan's name was mentioned. Through this uncovering of Ham, of Noah's nakedness. Do you understand that? Can I? Oh, let me tell you this scenario here. In closing here. We have Noah getting drunk. Lying naked in a tent. Of course, when you're drunk, you know, but you want to go to sleep, you want to change into something, but he took out and he was so drunk, he lied down, perhaps he lied down on the floor naked. Ham came into the tent, saw his father naked. Well, for the goodness sake, you know one thing? If a man is drunk in a room, just you saw him naked, just close the door, leave him be, right? Until he gets sober, is that right? That's common sense. So, but Ham saw the father was drunk, dead drunk. His opportunity now for him and the mother. Don't forget that the mother was Naamah, a Canaanite woman. You know, and her possessed half of her gene. And they have incest. Produces what? A child that is 3/4 of that amount. You understand that? You understand that? Yeah, sure. You understand? Ham was half of Noah. Still son of Noah. Mixing now with the mother produces Canaan. And Canaan became a giant. That gene is so much disturbed already. One generation, two generations. Got it? Yes. And then what he says here, when he went to do that with mother, he came and told his brother what he had done. And of course the Bible says he went and covered. Well, this could take place somewhere out there. Why must he go and cover the father? Just leave him alone in the tent to sleep. Am I not common sense to you? Yes or no? Well, you need to have tell the father, the two brothers. Father is naked in the room. So what? Leave him be. Leave him sleep it off. Well, the Bible tell you, you know, put upon the shoulder cover, bear word. Everybody think the imagination. Yeah. No, it's not, brother. It's not. The responsibility that covered up Noah, hence incest. And that's why in the next verse, verse 24, and Noah woke from his wine and knew what the younger son. Oh, people read the Bible like one follow after another, you know. Immediately he woke up. No, Ham must have seen my nakedness. What is this? Does it mean that? Who told Noah that he was naked, that Ham saw him naked lying in his room? The Shem? The Japheth? No. When he said, woke up from his wine, it's an expression that he became sober, because he has been drinking all the time. You know, he takes down the road when he saw Mrs. Noah was pregnant. He tried to add one and one together, see whether it produced two. They say, oh, I don't know whether I've slept with my wife. You know? Or maybe I did. Maybe it was a time she was not fertile. But what happened here? Who is this child? Then when the child was born, and Ham called him Canaan, not Noah. This man said that Noah by inspiration, even before Canaan was born, cursed Canaan. That is not true. After Canaan was born, then something is odd with this child. Something is wrong with this child. He observed that he wasn't behaving, you know, in the likeness of what he should be in his image. And he cursed Canaan, he knew. Because when he started inquire from the rest of the brother, they sooner or later have to expose themselves. that what they've been told, what Ham did. And he says, cursed be Canaan. And that's why Canaan was mentioned. The Ham was his father. Why? Because he was born out of unholy wedlock. And that's why Canaan produces the Canaanites. And all those siblings out there, the Jebusites and all this, many of them were giants. Do you understand that? Can that be any clearer? So who was Cain? Where did the giants come from? And who was Canaan? Read the Bible carefully and you can never go wrong. But if you want to jump to the conclusion, you can have it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace, and we ask for your grace, Lord, to continue to abide with us, to open our understanding much more, Father, as we read and to understand. We know that, Lord, your word is written in such a way, in your own expression, to let us see. And we ask for your blessing, Lord, even today, as we dismiss from here in Jesus' name.